If you have your Bibles, open them to Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs, if you haven't been there in a little bit. The beginning of the year, I handed out index cards, and I just asked you to, right off the top of your mind, jot down the three most pressing things in your life. And what concerns you? And I had you fill them out, and most of you didn't put your names on them and put them in. And I've prayed over them since that day. I've looked at them, and I told you that I'm going to bring a message. By the end of this year, I'll have preached a message on every single thing that's been put on those cards. And so today, I want to talk to you, because if you have 7 or 8 or 12 people putting something down in the top three, chances are, if you expand your list to the top 10, most everybody's going to have something in there regarding the same thing. The question that a very large majority of people put down was, what is my purpose in life? And the second one that goes right with it is, how do I hear from God and how do I know the purpose that God's called me to? Because that's something that you've got to seek the Lord on. Your parents cannot tell you what you're going to be. God said he told Jeremiah, he formed him, he knew him, and he formed him in his mother's womb. Let's just turn there, Jeremiah chapter 1. That being said, he called Jeremiah as a prophet. Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's why life is so precious, because God formed each and every little baby. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, he didn't ordain every one of us as a prophet to the nations. He did give us a call on our lives to be ministers of the gospel to all the nations. If you're traveling to Europe, you're carrying within you the kingdom of God, and you're there to bring the light. So let your light shine before men that they'd see your good works and that they glorify your Father in heaven. But here he tells him, I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you, I knew you. You were born, sanctified, set apart. So if God did this for Jeremiah, he's done this for everybody. He's foreordained you with a purpose. He's wired you. He's intricately designed a purpose and a plan for your life. And I want to help you to find that purpose. Some people just go through life aimlessly and let the situations of every day, of every week, of every year dictate where they go, back and forth, whether they go here, whether they go there, and then they'll listen predominantly to those that have influence over them. Now, as parents, we have influence over our children, but it's never to tell them what they're going to be in life. Where to point them to the Holy Spirit and let them inquire of him so he can reveal what he's already purposed them to do. That's where their joy is going to be. That's where their purpose will be. That's where their anointing will be. And so we need to be mindful that God is the one that has called us and set us apart and given us a purpose. So go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read from the Amplified. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. That's why only God can show you what your purpose is, because only God can satisfy you. yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, I want you to key in on a word here. He has planted. The word planted. If you take let's give me an example of an agricultural seed and you plant that into the ground. Once that's been planted, what must take place next? What's our responsibility? What are we supposed to do? We water it. Okay, we feed it, give it some good nutrients and whatnot. Now, once it grows up, how many of you have had vegetable gardens? A few of you? How about those rocks in New Hampshire? You got to get those rocks out of the way, don't you? Well, what's one of the things that shows up once the harvest starts coming up? Weeds. Oh, you're all familiar with that word, weeds. So we've got to get the weeds out of it. So once something's been planted, we have a responsibility to do something. Don't fall for the lie that well-meaning Christians, when they use the word sovereignty of God, because to me, too many people think that that just means it's up to God, everything that happens. But it's not. We're supposed to water that seed. We're supposed to get the weeds out of our own garden. Now, what happens when the harvest comes and it's ready to be picked? Does everybody take a month off and go on vacation? No. No, what do? We have to harvest what was planted. Well, same thing with our individual lives. We have to harvest what God has planted inside of us. It's up to us to find out one-on-one with God himself what he's wired us to do, what he's got for a plan and a purpose. Now, I want to show you by the word of God how this works. So turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, then God said, let us, so here we have God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit all in agreement here. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So we're made like God. He said so right here. We're made in his image and we're made in his likeness. Look what he says next. Look what God, the Father, the Word, and because God, the Word, came about as a little baby, Jesus. But before he was born as a man, as a baby, he was God, the Word in heaven. Revelation 19 and 13 bears that out. And his name shall be called the Word of God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, in agreement, said, let them, let who? Let man and woman, let them have dominion. If God gave you dominion, then who does not have dominion any longer? God does not. Not on planet Earth. Now, he's sovereign over all of his works, and he has dominion over all of his works, but he divided out dominion for man and for woman on planet Earth. That's why when Adam transgressed, when Adam sinned, God couldn't say, time out. I'm going to change it. I'm going to start over. He couldn't do that. Why? Not because he wasn't powerful, but because he was bound by his word. God will not violate his word. He says in Jeremiah 1 and 12, I watch over my word to make sure it comes to pass. You can count on God's word. Man and woman, people will let you down inevitably at some point in your life. Might be a school teacher. It might be a parent. It might be a spouse. But God will never let you down. You can count on God's word. If God said it, it's coming to pass. What you have to do to make it manifest in your life is to believe it, to receive it, and then act on it. And so to find our purpose and our plan that God has for our life, we need to go to him, inquire of him. So you see now that we have dominion over our lives. Now, thank God that He sent Jesus. Because all the dominion that Adam had couldn't save him. Once he transgressed, he went from being alive to being dead. And what? We were all born into a spiritually dead position. But God, he sent Jesus. And it took 4,000 years to get him into the earth as a man. Why? Because that's who has the authority and dominion on planet earth. Man does. So now Jesus, all God, but all man, is now in the earth. And that's when he whooped up on the devil. Don't you be thankful. We want to be thankful that he did. God, it had all of hell was, and the devil, Satan himself, was trying to hold Jesus into hell. But the Bible says that God raised him up. You know what it also says in the word? That he raised you and me up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. That's the authority. Adam lost the authority. Satan became the god of this world. 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. Little god, little g. He had the authority now. He tricked Adam and Eve, but he got it nevertheless. But Jesus whooped up on him and got it back. And in Matthew 28, he says, all authority's been given to me. This was the Great Commission before he was ascended back to the Father. And he delegated that authority to you and me. So we are the authorized agents over our own life, but we are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be guided by the Word of God, but it's up to you. It's up to you whether you're going to believe it. It's up to you whether you're going to operate in the plan and purpose God has for you. Now, we're going to look at predominantly two different ways in which God has set each one of us up. There's a primary plan and there's a secondary plan. Hold on that thought because we're going to go there in just a minute. All right, Romans chapter 8. Turn it over there with me. Just want to build a foundation by the Word of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus was the firstborn. We're in there somewhere in the numbering system if you're born again. But we were designed to be conformed. And actually, Romans 12, turn over there with me, just a couple of pages. I beg you, therefore, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We're to be transformed. But how? By the renewing of your mind, by the Word of God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. That's how we're going to prove it. We're going to not stay conformed to the way the world, the way we lived in the world, but when we got born again, we now have to renew our minds to be transformed into the image of God. We're supposed to be looking more like God each day that we are a believer. Each day. It's a progression. But things should be getting gooder and gooder in our lives. The world should begin to see and take notice. Once you got born again, they should notice something's different about you. You begin to talk differently. You might have had you might have liked to cuss. But eventually, God's going to clean that up, and you'll find yourself not having a desire to use foul language anymore. And one of the problems the church has had is they've been pointing fingers and judging people and saying, you're not worthy of this, you're not worthy of that. None of us are worthy of anything outside of Christ. But in Christ, we've been washed clean as snow. The blood of the Lamb, he didn't leave out, any sins at all. It covered all the past sins you did, the sins you do today, and the sins you commit next week. Hallelujah. That's good. So we're under the grace of God. And somebody say, well, you preach that and everybody will just think they've got license to sin. No, no, not if you conform your mind to the Word of God. You're not even going to want to do the things you used to do. You might have had an addiction to a drug. You'll find that thing just coming out of you. You won't even want to go there. And so God will, you know, he'll catch the fish, and then he'll clean them up. He'll clean up the fish before you get them. And so that's why we as the church, I'm talking about the church at large on the planet Earth, we need to love the world. We need to show them the goodness of God. We've got the Bible, God tells us over and over, don't judge other people. Who are you to judge? I always say it this way. You point your finger at somebody and you got three pointing right back at you. Before there was a song, I don't know, it was a rock and roll song. Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. I don't remember who did that or not. I remember hearing those lyrics. Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. Well, this is really what God is saying here. Take a look at, now that we're in the kingdom, we need to look at ourselves through the eyes of the Word of God. So don't stay in the world the way you used to, but be transformed. And it's going to happen by the renewing of our mind. Amen? So when you get born again, we're supposed to look more like God. We're supposed to reflect His goodness. So this is the first and main purpose of our calling as believers or as His children. We're to reflect God to the world. The world is supposed to see God in us. That's number one. So what's my purpose? My main purpose is to reflect God that lives inside of me to the world. That's my first purpose. So you can take that to work, can't you? You can take that to the grocery store when somebody cuts in line in front of you. Might tick you off, but you know what? We're still supposed to reflect God's goodness. That's a good opportunity to look in a grocery line, and maybe God's going to talk to you about paying for somebody's groceries. Well, how wild would that be? I shared a story before where a young man, he was just young in the Lord. He's like 21 years old. But he had an encounter with God, and the power of God was operating in his life. He was in a grocery line, and the girl that was at the checkout counter, she was not feeling good. He got talking to her, and he says, "Would you like me to pray for you?" And she's probably thinking, "Well, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can pray for me today, whatever." He meant right there, right now, right when she's got a line of customers. And she had, I don't know what it was, an ear infection or something, but he prayed for her, and the power of God came on her, and she was healed right there at work. And so people were getting excited, and other people were getting healed. And so then he asked her, he got so bold, he said, "Could I use that microphone?" So he got on and he's going through the whole store saying that if you need healing, come to checkout 3. And people began to come. And he had church right there, but it wasn't a religious church. It was God meeting people right where they're at. You're in pain, why wait and hope the guy's really going to pray for you? You see, he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that he could pray and he believed God. And so he did that. So first and foremost, that's how we're supposed to live. Reflecting the goodness of God. Let's say somebody's, you know, in your life and they're in lack or something. And you have the ability to help them. Well, ask God, what would you have me to do? He might have you, you know, provide that need that day. That's how we show and reflect the goodness of God. How about just a kind word? I'm amazed, you know, I go to the post office about 3-4 times a week, because I have a post office box there, and I'm so amazed when people come out, they're all walking, looking at the ground. Nobody ever looks up. It's like, is everybody that depressed, or are they looking for, did somebody drop something? And so I wait till they get about 5-6 feet from me, and then I startle them and say, "Good morning," and they jump, but people look so miserable. I don't know why. Maybe they are. But just a kind word at the right time could show the goodness of God when they needed to hear it. We don't know what people are going through. I shared that story of a man. He was on the subway with his two kids. His kids were totally out of control. I mean, they were climbing and running all around, and everybody's getting ticked off at him. So finally, somebody walked up to him and said, you know, would you control your kids? They're totally out of control. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, but their mom died yesterday. You don't know what people are facing. But if we're reflecting God's goodness all the time, we'll always have the right word for somebody. We'll always have the right expression for somebody. You know, so what if they cut you off? Big deal. If you really needed to get there quicker than one car length, leave a little bit earlier. You know, you don't need to give them sign languages. That's just reflecting who you used to be. You know, eventually we should, you know, say, bless them, Lord. Bless them. They must have had to get somewhere in a hurry. And you know what? I just make this a habit. I let people cut in front of me because I'm just thanking God that when I need an opportunity, he's going to pull through for me. He's going to give me that opening. And it happens over and over and over. When I need that parking space, I don't need it when the sun is shining. But I tell you what, when it's raining, oh, look at, they're backing out right there and they pull right up. I don't mind walking, you know, across the parking lot if the sun is shining, it's a nice day. I'll let somebody else have the spot. But when I need it, it's there for me. Come on. So our primary main purpose is to reflect God to the world. The world, it's getting hairier and scarier. It's getting more demonic. It's getting dangerous. It's getting more depressed. I mean, how many of you can watch the news and not be depressed after you watch it? I mean, there's not a whole lot of cats being saved out of trees nowadays. At least they're not reporting that. They're reporting all this other stuff. And I encourage you, you know, stay away from that as much as you can. Because it's just going to get you upset. It's going to get you irritated. You watch the 11 o'clock news and then lay your head down, you're thinking of all that crap you just heard. Did I say that in church? All right. Philippians chapter 2. Go with me there. This is going to get gooder. And gooder. Because you know why? Because God loves us and he wants to get this over to you. What is my purpose? What is the plan that God has for my life? Well, number one, you know, we know Teddy, what's his name? Shuttlesworth. And I began getting his magazine and this month's issue, I opened it up and the heading was something like having the best year in 2019. And he says, I'm going to give you six things to help that happen. Does anybody get that magazine? And anyway, number one, the number one thing he started off, he said, please God. Live your life to please God this year. He says, when you do that, God's favor, God's blessing, it will open up into your life. Like the Bible says that he goes to and fro. I think it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. He goes to and fro the earth looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his. To show himself strong. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Maybe you got a situation in your life right now. Maybe you got a bad medical report. God wants to show himself strong. He loves you. He's for you. It's his will you be healed. Don't fall for that lie that, well, you know, God does sometimes and God doesn't some other times. And it's, you know, you just never know what God will do. I absolutely 100% know what God will do. Because I know what his word says. He cannot violate his word. He has to honor his word. And you know what? That's good wisdom right there for us. We need to honor our words. We need to be true to our words. I was listening to, I think it was Dave Ramsey the other day on the radio, and a woman called in, and she said that she had borrowed money years and years ago from a person and never paid him back. And she just felt that God was saying, you need to get that out of your life. You need to get that thing taken care of. Well, when she found out, when she inquired into where they were, they had died. And so she said, I'm going to set up a trust fund for the family. And not only did she repay what she had borrowed, she repaid it with interest over all those years. It was like $3,000. And I think she put like $15,000 into an account for the heirs of that person that she wronged. With good intention, she was going to pay them back, and then she just lost touch and just never did it. But the Holy Spirit, God's watching. Well, he got a hold of her and said, you know what? This is a hindrance in your life. It's going to be a hindrance. It's going to keep you down. She probably was thinking about it, and it was bothering her. And she was laying out her finances, and she didn't even have a whole lot of, she didn't have a lot of extra money. But she made that a priority to get that thing so that her word would be honored for the children of that person. So anyway, we want to honor our word just the way Father God does for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, to the church. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's not talking about being afraid of God, but with a reverential fear or reverential awe of God, of who God is. Work out your own salvation. For it is God, verse 13, who works in you, say he works in me, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. One of the primary reasons God created man was for his good pleasure. And when we set out to please God, he wants to please us. He wants to bless us. God's word is conditional. It's conditional upon us believing it, but then we have to obey it. It's not enough to just believe that God sent Jesus to die for your sins. It's not enough to just believe that. That won't get you to heaven. That won't get you into the kingdom of God. You have to believe it, but then you have to receive it. John 1 and 12 says, but to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You know, occasionally you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, everybody on the planet is God's children. That's not what the word says. You don't become a child until you receive Jesus. That puts things in a whole different perspective. God loves everybody. He loves all the children and all the adults that have chosen to reject him. He still loves them, and he's still willing up until the last breath they take to come into his kingdom. I've shared this story before. There's a gentleman that came here, and his dad, he did not like God. He was very vocal about it, bitter man, and he was dying. And he was right up here at Lakes Region General Hospital, and he went into a coma. And this man that came here was so distraught because he knew his dad was going to hell. And he come to me after a service, and he says, what do I do? I said, you go up there today, I says, and you talk to him and share with him God's goodness. He says, but he's in a coma. I said, his spirit can hear you. His body was in a coma. His mind was not coherent, but his spirit was able to hear. And so he just shared that. And he said, Dad, he said, God loves you so much. He says, and you need to call on the name of the Lord. He says, Dad, the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he said his dad put his arm straight up in the air and then put it down. The next morning he passed away. Never came out of that coma. But that man knew. I said, that man's in heaven. I'm going to see him. I didn't know that man, but I did his funeral service. And I shared that. I shared the hope because that was powerful. You don't want to do a funeral and you know, if you knew for certain they went to hell, that's not a good thing. But you never know. God is so merciful. He'll give you the opportunity right to the last breath you breathe. You cry out to Jesus, you're in. But we don't want to tell people because you don't know when your last breath is. You don't want to be. Might be an airplane crash when you don't even know the breath. Or a car accident. You don't know. There's no guarantees outside of God. Come on. So I want to read that in the Passion. How many of y'all have the Passion version? Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 12. My beloved ones, just like you always listen to everything I've taught you in the past. Again, this is Paul speaking. I'm asking you to now keep following my instructions as though I was right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God. Who has to make it manifest? You do. That it says in the New King James, work out your own salvation. You have to make your salvation work out. Don't just leave up to God what God has left up to you. Well, if God wants somebody healed, he'll heal them. No, it's already his will that they be healed. That leper in Luke 5:12 said, Lord, I know you can heal me if you're willing. Jesus made it clear to everyone here. He wrote it down. I'm willing. And he touched that leper. And I'll tell you, if he healed that leper 2,000 years ago, he'll heal you today. That's the will. So once you have the will of God, the mind of God on it, now you can release faith and receive your healing. Don't ever leave up to God what God has left up to you. Well, if God, there's religion, there's people that follow, I can't remember his name, he's dead now, 2 centuries ago. He just believed that if God wants him saved, he'll save him. People go to hell believing that. It's important that you know what you believe. It's important you know the truth. And here's where the truth is. You have to get into the Word of God to find the truth. Don't just take any man or any woman's word for it. It's too important. Would you stake your life on it? I mean, if we went up to the airport today and I said, you know, I'm going to get in this jet and fly you somewhere. I've never flown a jet before. Would you get in and let me take you? Now, I was just sharing the other day. Back in the fall, there was an ad in the Daily Sun for Emerson Aviation, and they were looking for a couple different things. At the end, they were looking for a flight instructor, and it said no experience necessary. I thought, I just want to go up there and just apply for the job. I'm your man. I've flown before. Okay. Now, you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. You see, that's part of our purpose. That's part of our main purpose, is to have a passion to please the Father. To have a passion to please him. If he's going to and fro the earth looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his, that has passion for him, he's looking for that person. Are you that person that he wants to show himself strong for? I don't know about you, but I need God to be strong in my life every single day. I need to rely on him every single day. And it's a life of faith. It doesn't make sense in my mind. The more I get my mind out of the way, the better I am. The more that I get the clutter of what I think, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm not telling you what I think. Unless, I do tell you what I think, but I think what the Word of God says. But I'm not telling you what my mind says. I'm telling you what the mind of God says. When you get your mind lined up with God's mind, you're going to have an amazing journey called life. Amazing journey. All right. John 14:12, let's turn there quickly, and then we're going to go to point number 2 about your secondary purpose, which is really what most people want to know. But I had to form the foundation here to let you see that God has a greater purpose than just you being a school teacher or an airline pilot or a cook or whatever. He's got a higher call on your life, and it's to reflect him. In John 14, this is Jesus speaking. Most truly, verse 12, I say to you, he who believes in me, how many believers do we have here? The works that I do, he will do also. There's been a lot of debate amongst a lot of people that makes their head go tilt. And for years it made my head go tilt. But Jesus said it. The works that I do, well, what were the works that Jesus did? He healed people. He provided sustenance for people? He raised people from the dead? Are you kidding me? I had a phone call. This was back when we first were in this building. I had a phone call from a woman over on the coast. I didn't know who she was, and she just found out. She got on our website and found out, you know, what we believe. And she called me and says, do you believe in raising the dead? I said, absolutely, 100%. And then she kind of shocked me what she wanted me to do. She says, well, there's so-and-so that died, and they're over here in the funeral home in the casket, and the funeral's tomorrow. Would you come over with me? We need to break into the building and raise them from the dead. Actually got that call. I said, well, I said, this is what I told her. I said, if you get permission from the funeral director, I will come over. Boy, did that put me out there, didn't it? She never got permission from the funeral director. But I said it, and I would have gone. And she was distraught that this person died. But I tell you what, you got to know what you believe. And once it's out there, people are going to call you on it. Amen. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If God would be glorified through the works that Jesus did, then God will be glorified when we do the works that Jesus did. When we bring glory to God, that pleases him. That, again, is one of our callings on our life here in planet Earth. You know, when he gave Adam, let's go back to Genesis 1 for 1 second. Well, maybe a couple seconds. In verse 28, I just want you to see something here in the Amplified. And God blessed them. So God pronounced the blessing on Adam and Eve. Now, the blessing, it means to make happy, to make healthy, to make prosperous, to make fortunate, to make successful, to enjoy life. That's what the blessing brings to you. So the blessing isn't one thing. The blessing is the empowerment for all of the areas of your life to be happy ones, to be prosperous, to be enjoyable ones, the way God wants it to be. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them an amazing garden, and their assignment, he said, tend it and keep it. And, you know, you might wonder, why would they have to keep it? Because it really means guard it, because Satan was in the earth. They were supposed to run that snake out of there, but they didn't. Had they done that, had they truly done their assignment, this whole earth, there'd be no, you know, pollution and no green problems and whatever. It would be the Garden of Eden all over the earth. Our snowstorms and rainstorms would be different. They'd be happy ones. They'd be happy ones. Anyway, so God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? Fill the earth with everything he gave them. Look what it says here now. They subdue it using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. See, that's your and my assignment also. We're to serve God first, but we're to serve each other. How? Using all the vast resources God put in the earth. All the diamonds, all the gold, all the silver, all the oil. We're to be using the resources, because the Bible says God owns it all. I've never been to a funeral. Maybe you have, and you could just shed some light on this. Have you ever been to a funeral where there's a U-Haul attached to the end of the hearse? You can't take anything with you. You didn't come into the earth with anything. My mom's right here. I came in butt naked. Nothing. Don't get that image, but. But I didn't come in with anything, and I'm not leaving with anything. But I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm believing I'm leaving with him in the air for the greatest ride I've ever had. But if I do go by way of the grave, if Jesus waits another 100 years, so be it. I'm going. I know where I'm departing to. My mom knows where I arrived because she was there. I wasn't cognizant of it was in Laconia. But I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Lord. Okay, secondary purpose. What your calling or purpose is based on your uniqueness. Just look around. There's no two people here that look the same, that act the same. Thank God. No. Jeremiah 29, before I get in trouble. Let's go to Jeremiah. What is my calling? What is my purpose? Verse 11, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. This is God speaking, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. And get this, not for evil. God's never made plans for evil. That's the enemy's job, to steal, kill, and destroy. To give you a hope in your final outcome. So God's been thinking about you. He's had thoughts about you. He's got plans for you. And they're all for a good outcome. And so aside from our initial purpose to reflect God, to act like God, to manifest his kingdom on planet Earth, we are individually unique. Now, some of you are cooks, and some of you are plumbers, and some of you are, you know, different things. We call them our occupations, but God can use you. If you have that desire, you know, Barbara and Steve, your son had a desire from very young age to be an airplane pilot. From what, 5 years old or 3 years old? And he is an airplane pilot today. God put that in him. They probably thought, oh, I don't want him flying planes. I don't know if you ever thought that, but, you know. What if he said, I want to be a military jet fighter plane pilot, you know? It's like, I don't know if I want that. But he knew that in his heart. God put that in there. And so I know there's people that have gone through their lives and they've had things in there that they've wanted to act on, but they were afraid to. See, that's one of the things the enemy does is put fear in your life. And then he's made sure, the enemy's made sure that maybe your parents talked against it. You know, I know you say you want to be a jet pilot, but that costs money to go to a school to learn how to do that. If you base it on the money, you'll miss the plan of God. Here's worth coming for today. Don't ever make a decision solely 100% based on the money. You wouldn't be sitting here today if I had done that. Because I started this ministry in a recession. That was a dumb thing to do in the natural. People aren't giving. The government didn't give us a big, you know, loan. They didn't give us anything. Nobody did. Matter of fact, most people were against us. You can't do this. I remember one, he's like an associate pastor. He says, well, how are you going to pay for it? I said, I'm not. I said, God is. I said, what God calls you to do, he will pay for. What you call yourself to do, you're going to pay for. That's why it's important to know that God's called you to do this. Don't ever let the money or the lack of the money, because most of the time, you don't have the money to do what he asks you to do. It seems impossible. Do you know why? Because he wants a part in it. If you can do it all, he's left out of your life. That's why it's so sad. People that, you know, become instant millionaires, you know, they used to go to church. All of a sudden, they're not going to church anymore. They're too busy seeing stuff and doing stuff and buying boats and houses and all the new friends they get. What a curse that would be. You know, you win $70 million, you're going to have people all over the place tracking you down. Saying, well, we were best friends in high school. Don't you remember that? Yeah. Okay. Go back to Ecclesiastes for a minute. If you would. Anybody getting anything out of this today? All right, we were in verse 11. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose. So that purpose for your life, aside from the main call, has been put in there. Those desires are in there. You see, I didn't know the desires were in my heart to be a pastor. That was the craziest, last thing in my life that I would have wanted to do. But then God spoke to me. I met him on top of a mountain. I mean, literally, he spoke to me. And he said, I've called you to teach.